Well, bless the Lord. Good evening. I'm going to be sharing a little bit this morning or this evening. Where are we? It's nighttime, isn't it? It's night. Okay, it's not Sunday. It's Wednesday. There you go. The title tonight, and I don't have a handout for tonight. You can just follow along in your scriptures. I will be reading them to you. I have them printed out here, so you may not be able to go back and forth as quickly, but... The title tonight is You're Dripping, Use Your Bib. And the whole idea behind that is that sometimes we're so proud and we just haven't really humbled it down. And we have to realize that we're just like kids. And we're going to make some mistakes. We're going to be dripping some things. You know, when a kid has a bib on, they kind of drip some things on that. And I'm always blessed and sometimes amazed at the wisdom that I see coming from Pastor Mark's daughter, Carrion, as she raises her little 2.5-year-old, Adeline. Addie doesn't have the feeding yourself thing down yet. She's feeding herself, but it's going other places than in her mouth. You know, you guys, when you were younger, you did that too. And you know how the little ones are now. Carrion is very patient with Addie, though, and teaches her how, but Addie often tips the spoon, or she goes like this, and she kind of misses her mouth a little bit, or she goes to reach for something, and she drags her sleeve across the plate, so she's got her dinner on her arm there. So a lot of things end up on her hands, and on her elbows, and on her nose, and on her neck, and on the table, and on her shirt, etc. So what we do is I took one of Addie's bibs. This is little Addie's bib. I asked Carrion.
Brian.
Hey, Brian. Good evening. I asked Carrion if she would save me or would have Adeline use her bib for a number of meals, so that we'd get kind of a little cross section of what's going on here. So when you're just little and you have that on. Here, Patrick, you want to come up here for just a minute? Can I borrow your neck just for a minute? I'm just going to put this bib has little baby food on it and stuff like that. But I can't put it on me because it'll cover up the mic, so I don't want to do that. So, Patrick, I thank you for that, volunteering that. We need to get a good picture of that, too. We'll have to send that home to your grandmother there. There you go. It's kind of small because you're a big boy now. You're grown up. You know how to eat. You got it down now about how to put that spoon in your mouth, right? No one has to help you with that, and you don't need a bib. And now, just for a minute, you won't have to stay up here for the whole time. I just want to give you a little something here. Now, the point is that, you see, this is actual food. Addie was really trying. The point is she's really trying, but she's only 2.5. So lots of times I can see her, like she'll eat a little bit of yogurt, and I see her, she gets a big, she goes, big. You know, when she gets a lot on her spoon, she goes big, and then sometimes she goes little. But the yogurt is a little bit not as solid, you know, with some other things. So she'll go like this, and she'll tip the spoon like this to head it toward her mouth. Well, guess where the yogurt's going? It's dripping in a nice line all across the table and her shirt and everything. So she's learning. But her bib usually looks like this. Instead of, you know, clean. But what I like to see, this blesses me. Because that shows me she's trying. That shows me she's putting forth the effort. Even though she's dropping some of it, she doesn't cry, she doesn't stop, she doesn't say, I can't do it. And her mom certainly doesn't make fun of her. And Carrion doesn't throw a little Addie away because she doesn't have the art of eating mastered yet. Rather, Carrion gives Addie all the support she needs. She gives her the love. She gives her the teaching, the training, the encouragement, and... the bib. That is the protection, the covering that she needs until she masters the task. Thank you so much. You're very, very courageous to be up here, Patrick. I really appreciate that. Thank you. Now, Patrick, you used to have a bib like this, but you're a grown young man now, so you don't have that. So did you. You had one of these too, darling.
I didn't have a purple one.
No, you didn't have a purple one. And it's hard to believe, but you know, Helen probably at some point had a little bib on her too. You know, we all were little once. And but the point is, she's kind of dripping on her bib here still, but she's trying. And she's receiving instruction all along, and her instructor is her mom, who loves her, encourages her, and keeps her going. Now, God does the same for us. His love, His redemption, His mercy, His directions, they're there for those who are willing to endure the process of learning. And he provides the bib. He doesn't really mind. He provides the bib. Now, that's not to say that you want Adeline to keep the bib on. You don't want her to constantly not do this. God doesn't want us to constantly be dripping on our bibs, so to speak. But he knows that we're going to do that because even as an adult, we don't understand God sometimes. Even as an adult, we don't do things right. I mean, the young ones, they can see sometimes an adult gets angry or an adult might lie. Those aren't right. Those aren't good examples. That's why we have to forgive one another. So when God provides all of these things, he gives us the help that we need so we won't destroy ourselves or all the other people on the planet too. Get out your weapon and just, you know, you're not going to do that. So we need to be humble. We need to admit that we need a little bib. We need a little help to kind of make it so that our lives aren't too messy and let God do a tremendous work there. So we can really be encouraged about the things that the Lord has for us. But it's a matter of realizing that we're born broken people. That nature, we've said this many, many times here, the nature that Adam got from God was perfect. But when Adam sinned, his nature wasn't perfect anymore. So he would lie, he would cheat, he would steal, he would disobey, he would not believe God, he would not do what God said, he would lean toward pleasures and the things of life and not listen to the Lord. Now, that's the nature that we inherited, not the one God made. That's why babies die, that's why people are sick, that's why wars are happening, not because God forgot or is far away, but because the nature of man is broken. And when we realize that every single's nature is broken, we're like that little kid. And God is teaching us how to live this life according to how he says. And while, just like little Adeline, we're going to spill some things on ourselves. Now, do you think she spills things on her mother too? Yes. And if I'm at the table the same time, sometimes her little spoon gets stuck. So what she does is she just pulls it. But when she pulls it, whatever was on it flies all over everybody else too. But she's trying. She's pressing in there. She's trying to experiment. She's trying to figure it out. She hears the direction of her mom, but sometimes her little nature comes up and she goes, no. She doesn't want to hold the spoon. She doesn't want to do it her way. And many times she says, Mommy, do it. Sure, it's really easy to sit there. Just let Mommy feed you. But that's where a lot of people are as Christians. They want someone else feeding them, someone else doing. They just want to sit there and be tended to. That's not the idea. The whole idea is if you're going to spill and drip, that's okay, but it's not supposed to be there forever. You should get better and better at doing the things of God. So in Psalm 28, verse 7, I don't have a handout for this. If anyone needs the scriptures, I can get them to you later, or you can go on the audio and pick up on those. Psalm 28, verse 7. Boy, this is powerful. The Lord says, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart exalts, and with my song I shall thank him. So, when we really understand that we have that broken nature and we don't really have what it takes to even obey God, you can read the scriptures. They're very edifying. They're very complete. They do match. The things work out, and by his spirit you understand them. But at some point we realize, wow, that's hard to do. I can't do that, God. You're telling me that your holiness will do that, but I can't. So what you do is you just admit that to God. Say, God, I'm sorry. I can't do that. But you in me can. That's why it's so important to be saved. That's why it's so important to take a moment in time and say, God, I'm sorry for all my sins. I believe in Jesus, and I want his death to apply to me, but I need Jesus inside. And I give him permission to talk to me. I give him permission to be my ruler, to be my master, to tell me how to live this life. His spirit coming out from us is what's going to be holy, not us, ever, ever. So when we start failing, when we start having difficulties, we have to remember these kinds of scriptures. The Lord is my strength, not the bib. The Lord is my strength, not the spoon. The Lord is my strength, not the instructor. The Lord is my strength. That's how we're going to get it. And don't kill yourself and beat yourself up when you make a mistake, but don't use it as an excuse to sit in it. Get up and get going. And in Psalm 40, verse 17, this is the very first words of this verse are, they're hard to really say with honesty. And it says, since I am afflicted and needy, let the Lord be merciful, let the Lord be mindful of me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God. That very first thing is a cry of humility. I am afflicted. I don't do things right. I have rebelled against you. I have gone after what I have preferred and not what you have wanted. I am needy, Lord. I can't do this without you. I can't do this without you. And in Isaiah 41:10, the first part of that verse, there's a little call that says, but thou, O Lord, be gracious to me and raise me up. That's when there's a little difficulty in, as Addie goes to eat. Sometimes little corrections are made, even as she goes to eat. Sometimes she'll take that spoon. She tends to lean toward being right-handed, so there's a little more strength in her right-handedness. But she'll just pick up the spoon with her left hand. Well, that doesn't seem to be as in control. So if she uses her left hand, there's going to be even more of a mess. So all there needs to be a little correction. Here, put it in this hand, honey. Put it up a little higher. Put it down a little lower. Look at what you're doing. See, these are corrections that are made along the way. And guess what happens? When she does exactly what her mom tells her to do, nothing spills on the bib. But she has to really focus in on her mom, and she's just not ready for that yet. She has to kind of work on this stuff. And just like with the Lord, we're going to make some mistakes, but when we zoom in and focus in on Him, we're going to hear from Him, and we're going to have a lot less spillage around us in our lives. And then Isaiah 50, verse 9. Now, it's the Lord who's speaking here. So, and He says, it holds for us to, behold, the Lord God helps me. And that was a prophecy in terms of Jesus. Who is he who condemns me? Meaning Jesus. Behold, I love this. They will wear out like a garment. The moth will eat them. I love it. I absolutely love that. Those that come against God, those that don't know the Lord, God is going to take care of them. They are going to wear out and the moth will eat them, which is just an example. It doesn't mean a real moth is going to come in your home and eat you. Sometimes the things in the scripture are just examples. They're just samples. They're not something that's going to happen exactly. And yet other things are. And that's why having God inside, going by His Spirit, we're going to know what the difference is. And then Isaiah 30, verse 18 to 19. Well, I tell you, it's very powerful on how God loves us, how He wants to direct us and have the least amount of spillage on the bibs. Therefore, the Lord longs to be gracious to you. Wow. I mean, I read this stuff and I believe it, but it's almost like I can't believe it. God, the God of all this earth, the one who is so perfect and so holy and so good, who doesn't want babies to die, He doesn't want wars to happen, He doesn't want families to break up, He doesn't want people to be cursing and swearing and being foolish and losing money and all. He doesn't want that to happen. He longs to be gracious to us. But God is very smart too. Would I give Patrick the keys to my car to drive? He goes, yes. How old are you now, honey?
Not 10.
10. So, I'm not going to give Patrick the keys to my car. Not because I'm mean, and not because I don't like Patrick. But because I'm wise, I'm not going to give Patrick something he even would want and like, because I know he's not ready. So when God doesn't give you something you want, and God doesn't do that, it's not because He hates you, and it's not because He's trying to hurt you, and it's not any of those reasons, just like with Patrick. It's because God is so wise, He knows what is exactly best. Now, a lot of people don't obey God, and they bring hurt into their homes and their families and themselves. But we can pray and we can ask God, help soften that hurt, Lord, and help me be right. Help me be good. Help me do what you say. But when you read this and it says, therefore the Lord longs to be gracious to you. God wants to give you good things. God wants to bless you. God wants to help you. But if Patrick doesn't clean up his room, even when he's 18, I'm not giving him the keys to the car. Even if he has a license, if he's disobeying and he's not following what needs to be done, then he is going to have an accountability for that. That means he just can't do what he wants. He has to follow the directions of those in proper authority over him, just like God is proper authority over us. And that is so powerful and wonderful. We can understand that with each other. We need to start understanding it with God. God's not mean when he doesn't answer our prayers. It's just that God has a bigger and better plan. And we might have to give up something, or maybe not have something, or do something. And sometimes it's not because we're like, if he doesn't clean up his room, I'm not giving him the keys to the car, you see. That is punishment for his wrongdoing. But the first example I gave was, I'm not giving him the keys, not because I don't like him, but because I'm wise, and he's not ready. So you see, there's reasons why you don't get what you ask. Sometimes they're just not going to fit in the plan the way God wants. There's a whole bunch of things in terms of this when it says the Lord longs to be gracious to you. We have to remember that. So when our prayers aren't answered the way we want, we have to submit to the wisdom of God. We can't step back as far as he is to see the wholeness of going on. We have losses, we have deaths, we have financial crisis, we have health things going on. If we belong to the Lord, if you don't belong to the Lord, it's just happening to you. God says it rains on the just and the unjust. If you love the Lord, if you don't love the Lord, if you're outside, you're both going to get wet. That's life down here. But if you belong to the Lord and something happens to you that's a tragedy, something happens that hurts, you have to go and look, is there anything I did, Lord, to cause this? And if you didn't, then God knows what he's doing. Either he's put that on you, or he's allowed it to happen for a greater plan. He's going to get... The example was, and I've used this many times, when my brother Billy died. Man, we prayed that he wouldn't. He died of cancer. He was only a young man, only 40 years old. Please, God, please, God, please, God. It wasn't that God didn't like us. It wasn't that God wanted to punish us. He didn't want to answer our prayer. It's just that his answer was, I'm going to do more with his death than I am with his life. Meaning the shock of my brother's death did more to change people's lives and bring them to the Lord than him continuing with his good life and his good work. So you see, God's plan sometimes hurts to have it manifest. But we should really trust God and realize that he said, the Lord longs to be gracious to you, that you realize, okay, God, I have to release this to you. Now, the world, the flesh, and the devil are going to play around with your life. But as long as I know they're not involved in this stuff, not me, not the world, and all the other people in it, not the devil, as long as I know that's out of the way, and this is coming from God, then he will give me the strength to get through it. He will give me some understanding. And if I never, for some reason, I never understand the fullness of it, I still can come back to, I trust you, God. I release this situation to you. Very powerful. So when we realize we're the children with the bib on, we're the ones that need the instruction, we're the ones that are dripping on the bib, we need to understand God's provided everything, just like is provided for the child. Now, Adeline didn't have to go out and make that spoon. She didn't have to go out and earn any food. She didn't have to go out and make any of it. All of that's being done for her at this portion of time. But guess what? I guarantee you, if she maintains good health, Adeline is not going to be sitting at that table at age 15 and have someone feeding her or her struggling. She's going to have it. So you see, we go through seasons of life. She's not going to need that help. She's not going to need that instruction in that area. And that's how we are one with the other. That's how we are to the Lord. And Isaiah 30, 18 to 19 continues and says, and therefore he waits, God, he waits on high to have compassion on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. How blessed are all those who long for him. O people in Zion, that was the name of a city back a long time ago, the city of God. O people in Zion, inhabitant in Jerusalem, you will weep no longer. That's a promise from God. You will cry now. Those who sow in tears reap in great joy and blessings. He will surely be gracious to you at the sound of your cry. When he hears it, he will answer you. If you have something that's hurting, something that's confused in your life, something you don't like, go back to the Lord. God, help me. Help me to do what you want me to do in this situation. And you're always going to fight. He doesn't want you to fight back. He doesn't want you to do to others what they're doing to you. He wants you to be holy. Not feel holy, be holy. And the only way to be holy is to get Jesus Christ inside. He's a spirit. You can't see him. Right now, the Spirit of God. Now, Jesus isn't a spirit, he's with God, but I'm just saying the Spirit of God is what we have inside of us because of what Jesus did. Powerful. And that is the holiness that comes out. God, I need more of you working in me. The only way more of you can work is if less of me works. And Paul said that right off. I must decrease that you, God, might increase. So I have to fight my feelings. I have to fight my thoughts. I have to put them away. Don't fight the people. Fight your feelings about them. Don't fight the people. Fight your thoughts about them. Don't fight the circumstance. Fight your thoughts about it. Fight your desires and your wants. Those are the things we fight, because the only thing that's going to be left is the God part coming out, and that's where the tremendous wisdom is going to be. And in Psalm 42:16, this is, you don't need to know where you're going. God's going to lead you. Now, that doesn't mean you don't need to know where you're going. Every day you get up and you got to go to work, you got to know where to go. I'm not saying that. But God's going to lead and guide your life. And he says, Psalm 42, verse 16, and I will lead the blind by a way they do not know. In paths they do not know, I will guide them. I will make the darkness into light before them, and the rugged places into plains, meaning flat places. These are the things I will do, and I will not leave them undone. That's God talking. He cannot lie. His perfection is so perfect that he cannot lie. So that is true. He's going to put some light in the darkness. Yes?
42:16.
42:16. Is that a typo?
Yeah, there's no 16.
Oh, there's no 16. Well, it's 42 something in there. Psalm 42, verse something. And I will lead the blind by a way they do not know, etc. I'll have to go... Is that in there? Is that one of the verses in there? I might have had a typo on my paper here. If you can find that, just let me know what that change is. Now, with this kind of confidence in the Lord, that he actually longs to have compassion on us. He longs to lead us in the right way. He has everything we need. He's the makeup process for what Adam messed up. Jesus is the one that can fix every single thing that we're born broken with. This is why we have to be in contact with him. We've got to be talking to him, and that's called prayer. You can pray quietly. You can pray out loud. You can pray in church. You can pray at home. You can pray in the car. I mean, this is a conversation you can actually have with God. Now, he's not going to talk out loud to you. He's going to talk in your heart in a very special way that's unique to every single one in here. And you will, well, how am I going to know? You will know it. But you're never going to know and recognize the voice of God unless you're kind of talking to him, reading about what he wants, getting very familiar with him. So don't worry about spilling on your bib. God has you covered with all the things I just talked about. You can actually dive into the things of God. Some people have said, well, I got to get things all straight before I start seeking God. You can't. Your Adam nature will not let you get it straight. Because when you say you love someone, because, oh, I read God said love your enemy, you're only going to love them till the Adam nature can only love until it's really ticked off or turned off. But the love of God never gets turned off. It keeps pouring out. But because it's bounded by justice and wisdom and judgment, it just doesn't let anything happen anytime. God just doesn't say, do what you want. But he sees that we're broken, we can't really do it well, so he's there to help us and to urge us and keep us going until we get this done correctly. So you can really dive in. Don't wait till you think you have it straight. Ask God to show you how to think, how to feel, how to desire. Very, very powerful. And the earlier we do this, the better. Because if you don't have the Lord inside, you're going to kind of keep doing things that aren't right. And they're going to become your habits. And then it's going to be hard to let go of them. So the earlier you get Jesus inside, the less of that junk that you do, there's less you have to be changing. You can start learning the things of God and doing that right away. Now, people will laugh at you. If everyone in school is cheating, and if everyone in school is pushing someone around or being a bully or cursing or swearing or dressing a certain way and you don't, you can be guaranteed that someone will laugh at you, whether you're an adult or a child. If you start doing it right, they'll say, what's your problem? Come on, you can do it. What are you, chicken? You can know inside, say, no, I'm on a different road than you. I'm heading somewhere. I have a mission and a vision. God knows me and I know him and he's going to take care of me. I'm going to do what's right first instead of doing it wrong 10 times and then having to get it right. Be the lead, be the guide, and have God come through you. And in Hebrews 13:6, all of this so that we confidently can say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Just like I said in the example, was someone going to make fun of you? I mean, some of us were adults when we came to know the Lord. And I stopped doing some of the things that I was doing in the military. And they said, oh, you're no fun anymore, Pugsley. Well, I had a choice. I could have said, well, I'll go ahead and do that thing with you because I want you to stay to be my friend. Or I had a choice and I said, I want God to be my friend. This is going to please God. Me doing this is going to please God. Me doing what you want me to do isn't going to please God. So we have choices to make all the time. Now, if we were the Lord, what a different attitude we would have when we see each other's dirty spilled on bibs. You see, God looks at our bibs. God looks at our little bibs. And he sees progress. He sees trying. He sees getting in there and trying to obey is just as important to God as actually achieving the thing. Some of us haven't understood that. We think God's only happy when we completely obey. He sees us trying. He sees us struggling. He sees us falling down. But he says if a man falls down seven times, he's got to get up seven times. See, God knows our nature better than we know. Now, we would be, in terms of seeing this, we tend to look at that and we go, that's stupid, you're a slob. We see a bib like that, you're a slob. God doesn't talk about that. He has a totally different idea on that. Now, we would rather see the bib clean. Not one spot on the bib. Oh, that looks like, oh, you're doing everything perfectly. No, you're not. Because if there wasn't one spot on the bib, that either means someone else fed you, which is no good, or you didn't even attempt to eat. You just didn't even start. So a spotless bib could mean that you're either crippled or you're dead because you haven't even started. So it's really not a good idea to go through the training phases with a spotless bib because that means that all the right things aren't going on. So God would rather see this and go to an improvement than he would to see that empty bib. Now, well, when do I get rid of my bib, you may ask me. You never get rid of your bib down here. We are never bibless down here because we are always going to be spilling something. It's almost like a sign. I wish we could wear it, a little sign to remember. I do have faults. I do have things that aren't perfected in me yet. I don't do everything correct, but I am striving and I am trying and I ask for prayer as we can one for another. That's why God says to pray one for the other. So we're not going to be bibless until when? When are we going to get rid of these bibs? When we are in the kingdom with God, finally for eternity, because there'll be completion and perfection. So we have to keep on trying, repent, forgive each other, etc., and go on. And we have to focus this. I want to leave us with this message tonight. Focus on the Lord, not the task. Focus on the Lord, not the task. Focus on the Lord, not the fact that you're impatient. Focus on the Lord, not the fact that you're weak. Focus on the Lord, not the fact that you don't have something straight. Focus on the Lord, not the problem. Did you ever disobey mom or dad? Did you ever disobey that? You know, as adults, we've done that as kids. We've disobeyed even authorities in our lives. Yes, we have. We've done that. But we need to forgive ourselves because God has forgiven us and we need to be able to go on. So we don't want to focus on that. We want to focus on the Lord in all the things we do. And I'm reminded again of Addie and Icarian. Sometimes Addie gets really distracted and her mom's trying to give her some instructions. That's like the Lord. He tries to give us instructions and we're distracted with the person or the argument or the problem or whatever and we're going all over the place. So sometimes Icarian will say to Addie, she'll go, look at me. Look at me. She's trying to get her to focus. So she'll take Addie's little chin and she'll kind of lean it over to her and she'll go, look at me, so that she can give her some instructions. And it takes a little while sometimes. So what Addie has done now, she's little, she won't do this forever. When she's trying to get her mother's attention, she'll go over to her and she'll go, look at me, look at me. Yeah. So it's really sweet how she does that. But that reminds me of one of my nieces. Her husband is a wonderful man. She's a wonderful gal. They have three children. And all three children have had a little bit of a disability. One child is a type 1 diabetic and requires insulin all the time, checking of blood. She's only like 10 years old. 9 years old, 10 years old. The middle child is autistic, and that is a huge challenge that they have that they're coming through really beautifully. And the other child has everything else okay, except they had a speech problem because there was an operation that had to be done in the bottom part of his mouth to kind of fix that up. So here they are with three kids that have some very special needs and take a lot of care. Well, Heather works at home with the kids, which is great. So she's a full-time mom at home, and her husband is able to provide for them, et cetera, et cetera. But sometimes Heather gets really, you know, if she ever listens to this audio, I'm talking about you, Heather. But sometimes she gets scattered because there's so many things going on, because there's so many needs of the children. She gets scattered. And I've been there when Matt will go over to her and he sees she's just like ready to blow it. And he looks her right in the eye and he goes like this. And he says, Heather, focus, focus. And he takes his two fingers and he points to his eyes and looks directly. Focus, Heather, focus. And it's a little help that we need sometimes. And sometimes God has to say that to us. Focus, people, focus. He's telling us, focus on Him. Look to Him. He has the peace. He has the answer. He has the strength. He has the courage. He has the ability to overcome anything in your life. There is nothing impossible to God. God is in you if you're His child, and it's done. So focus on the Lord. Even if you've got that spoon and it's dripping yogurt all over your bib, focus on the Lord, because He's going to be the one that gives you those little corrections that's going to make it so that you have less and less of this spillage. So be steadfast in learning and doing the will of God. Look to Him and literally just like let the little drops and drips fall where they may. It doesn't mean you can do anything you want. I'm not saying that. But don't be so frozen in time you're afraid to make a mistake and I might do this. Get out there and live this life fully, but seek God with all your heart. And when you get some drips on your bib and you don't understand, go back to God. Be steadfast in seeking Him and He will lovingly guide you in what you need to do. So let's get our bibs and admit that we need them. And when we see someone else's bib is a little dirtier than ours or something, don't get snooty about it. Be willing to help them maybe drop a little bit less on their bibs. So I'll get those. Did you get that scripture?
It was Isaiah 42.
Ah, thank you. God bless you. Yep, I was in Isaiah 30, and I just typed the wrong thing. That is Isaiah. Thank you so much for the correction. Isaiah 42, 16. Thank you so much for the correction. See, I spilled a little on my bib, and here Carolyn came along. What an excellent example. I spilled a little on my bib, and Carolyn helped me make that little correction. I appreciate that. Thank you so much. And she didn't laugh at me because I had some on my bib. She took care of it. She said, let me take care of that. Now, that thing about the bib, I was saying that, you know, you never get rid of your bib. But when you get older, you start spilling a lot more, it seems, on your, I don't know why. You spill a lot more on your shirt anymore, but Ted understands. He knows what I'm talking about. But anyways, well, bless the Lord. So just stay focused on that, and don't be embarrassed that you got a couple of drops on your bib there. God loves us, and He loves each one of us in a unique and marvelous way. He's not crowding His time out just because I have needs and I'm calling Him. And the young people have their needs, which are totally different than my needs. What Patrick and his sister are praying for are in all likelihood totally different from what I'm praying for. So, but God hears us all. He's so huge and so big. And I've heard people say, well, God's busy. Then He isn't God. If God is busy, He isn't God. God means I am able to take care of this, all of you, for eternity. There's like 7 billion people on the planet right now. That amazes me to no end. This God becomes more and more awesome to me. He is unique. He has a relationship with each one of us, and He is not stymied. He is never late. He is never busy. He never sleeps or slumbers. He doesn't run out of time. He doesn't run out of holiness. He is perfect. You get to be like what you hang around. Hang around God. Hang around God by reading the Bible. Hang around God by praising Him. Hang around God by going to church. Hang around God by reading your Bible. So that when you do live this life, you're not going to live your life in church. You're not going to live your life reading your Bible. You're going to live your life out there with your family and your friends and in school and at work and in the community. That's where God needs to shine forth. But how can He shine forth when you don't know Him? If you don't know what He wants, live your life according to what God says and let Him let all the bib stuff fly where it may and let God take care of that. God bless you richly.